Christmas, buddy.
Christmas. Happy Christmas, everybody.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
When does this come out? Is this... What day are we?
Is this before or after Christmas?
Oh, well, let's find out. Let's do a look.
After Christmas.
After Christmas. Well, I hope everyone got presents that they wanted.
So you're going to say everyone got pregnant then? I was like, what?
I hope everyone got as pregnant as they wanted, which is, for some is going to be exactly not at all, sure. And for some is going to be lots.
Sure.
I'm just the stork over here.
Well, Christmas was 3 days ago.
Christmas was 3 days ago.
So hopefully the hangovers are easing up. This is smack bang in the middle of the grey days.
Oh, welcome to the grey days,
welcome
fuckers.
To the grey days. It's been 3 days since Christmas and it's 3 days until New Year's. You don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
You don't know what's happening.
You've not cooked for days.
The world stopped.
Yeah.
The world has stopped.
You're just eating cheese and crackers.
You're just watching the clock, dreading the 5th of January when the world opens back up again. I'm not. I'm in a cinema.
You are in a cinema.
I'm in a cinema. So I'm at work right now.
I'm just in a glass of eggnog right now watching
Eggnog's
It's a Wonderful
fucking
Life.
Fucking disgusting.
Fuck off.
It's the worst. I had an eggnog latte the other day and it's literally just custard and coffee.
That's like saying, oh, I had an Irish
coffee. It's eggnog without the alcohol.
Well, I suppose.
It's gross. Nah. It's too thick.
It's chewy drink. Like, chewy alcohol.
It's custard.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be on fucking dessert.
It's alcoholic custard. That's a bad thing.
To drink?
Yes.
Yes.
It's delicious.
Awful thing.
How dare you?
To put it on a fucking
How
apple pie?
Dare
sure,
you.
I'm sure that's amazing.
How dare you? Should we start the show?
Sure. I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome
to the Every Movie Ever Podcast!
Christmas theme. Yeah! Right, so today's going to be a little different because it is. We're doing a relaxed Christmas episode. We're going to be ranking the top films of 2025. Our top films of 2025. This isn't a definitive thing. There's
it's
no awards
definitive.
Involved.
I mean,
and Leo can
be.
Stop phoning me because you're not getting one.
Leo doesn't have a phone.
You fucking waited. You waited for your Oscar. You can wait for this.
Leo doesn't have a phone.
He does.
I suppose he needs to find 19-year-olds.
Yeah,
they're all on
say.
Instagram.
Exactly.
He's probably got
How
a
else
dark
is he going to get on Snapchat?
He was devastated by the loss of Bebo.
Oh, Bebo's dead. Dead in the water. That's it. That's his plumbing question. That's how he knows.
Mm.
That's how he knows whether you're too old or not. Did you have Bebo? Yeah. See you later.
Can you remember 9/11?
Did you have Bebo? What's Bebo? Let me get you a drink and tell you all about it. Come sit with Uncle Leo.
Oh, God.
Hate it. So what we're going to do is celebrate Christmas. And obviously New Year's just right around the corner. And we've got a whole year of upcoming releases, which I'm fucking chomping at the bit for. Odyssey's out this year, next year. We've got Avengers are back in December.
Are they?
That'll be a thing.
They're never back. They're never
they
coming
are.
Back. No.
The teaser specifically says Steve Rogers will return in Doomsday.
Oh, fuck off.
And he's got a kid.
I don't care.
He's got a baby and a Triumph motorcycle.
So past caring at this point about
yeah,
fucking
same.
Marvel.
I'm hoping they do something good though.
They're not gonna.
You don't know this, you fucking miserable grump.
All right.
Who are you? Scrooge. It's Christmas, Rob.
Let's put a pin in that. When's it out?
December.
Right, okay. This time next year,
yeah,
we'll see who's right.
Fine.
All right.
I'm just going to enjoy it out of spite.
Like, yeah, I'm teeing you up to enjoy a film. That's what a good friend would do.
Right. But then you're just going to be sour about it and then be like, oh, fuck off. And we're going to have this conversation again.
Yeah.
Fine.
I quite like this conversation.
Odyssey's out and it's going to be wank.
It's going to be brilliant.
It's going to be brilliant. Yeah, of course it is.
It's Chris
I've
Nolan.
Seen the little six-minute trailer thing.
Yeah,
it's
you've got that
fine.
On me at the moment. I've not seen that yet.
I keep inviting you in to watch films and you're like, oh, nah.
Dude, I've had a hell week.
All I'm hearing is no, Ben, fuck your generosity. I don't want to be around it.
I've not had time to fucking shower, let alone fucking watch a movie.
Well, you look good for it.
Thank you. I had one this morning.
There you go.
Just managed to scrape myself out of bed.
Meh. How are you doing? We haven't done the how are you do's.
Well, remember that last episode where I was really tired and really ill?
Like 40 minutes ago. Yeah,
yeah,
I remember.
Not to give you too much of a peek behind the curtain, listeners, but Ben and I need a rest. This is how we're doing it. We're getting a little bit ahead so we can hit the new year all guns blazing.
Yeah.
What that does require at the moment is that there is very little left in the chamber while we clean the gun.
Yeah, it's probably the safest
so
way
we
to go
thought
about it,
we
right?
talk about some films that we enjoyed this year, and I'm going to kick off by saying it was a shit year for cinema and I enjoyed very little.
Oh, I'm sorry. How you doing, Rob? Yeah, so it's been a shit year. I'm going to kick off the episode. No, how are you, Ben? No, nothing. You know what I mean? That's fine.
Do you know what it is?
Merry Christmas, everyone. Do you know what it is?
It's because I asked you 40 minutes ago and I forgot that we're in a different week
Christmas,
now.
Christmas, I gave you my heart and then immediately
I dropped it like it was red hot.
You literally threw it to the wolves. Let's try to stay in tune. One of us tries. I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking, Rob. I had a great Christmas, probably. And I'm very much looking forward to New Year's.
Okay.
I've been working all the time.
That will have been true by the time people hear this.
Yeah.
Since the last 40 minutes.
Avatar's been doing well.
I'm sure it has.
Probably.
Yeah. Donald Trump. Oh, see what he got up to?
Probably.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was something. He did say something. Yeah. It might have been good. I don't know. It's not happened yet. This is all from the past.
Yeah.
We're going to rank our top movies of 2025.
Okay.
Rob, would you like to kick us off, darling?
A Real Pain.
Fucking great film.
Such a good film.
Should we clarify this? Because I don't think we've clarified this for each other.
Right.
Are we doing top 10 in order, like 10?
No, I'm just telling you films.
You're just going to tell me 10 films that you enjoyed?
I don't have a full 10.
You tell me a film, I have 10. We'll go until your list is over.
This is it.
And I'll pick
up
the slack.
I tried to do 10 and I was like, I can't really remember what. So I wrote the ones I could remember.
Yeah.
And I had about 5.
That's fine.
And I went, okay, let's find another 5. And I went through, I want to say 3 or 4 top 100 lists of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Nah.
Okay.
Admittedly, an awful lot of the films that were on the best 100 films this year lists were tiny indie movies that we didn't get around to seeing. Because we were doing...
You're using we very liberally there, bud.
Oh, really? Okay. Should we test this theory?
Hit me.
Best films of 2025.
Let's... Rotten Tomato one.
I'm not doing the Rotten Tomato one. I'm doing the ones I looked at. The Secret Agent. You seen it?
Not yet.
Sound of Falling. Have you seen it?
Not yet.
It Was Just an Accident. Have you seen it?
No, but that is on the watch list.
Misericordia. Have you seen it?
No.
Train Dreams. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
All right, I might need to watch that. Sentimental Value.
Not yet.
Right, okay. The Ballad of Wallace Island.
Yes.
Oh.
Great film.
I need to watch more films.
You just need to watch films.
So busy, Ben.
I got one from Zambia today, a little indie movie called On Being a Guinea Fowl. Very fun.
That's up there a lot.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
Very good. Very good.
Weirdly funny.
Do you know what's better?
What's that?
A Real Pain.
A Real Pain is a great movie.
I think it's the making of Kieran Culkin. I was watching him in Succession for many a year.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest, he was the reason I watched the film.
Interesting.
Because he's got this incredible ability to sad clown.
He does.
You're laughing.
Yeah.
But you feel incredibly sorry for him.
Scott Pilgrim. He's a sad clown, Scott Pilgrim.
He does
a lot of dark humor where he's like he's trying to be.
He's
sort
a little
of
edgier. He's a little bit more acidic. Yeah. And what I like about A Real Pain is there's a real tension throughout the whole movie of the fact that he's trying to do this bonding experience with his cousin. He's trying to have it be like a nice holiday and a nice commemorative thing, but it is a Holocaust trip. It's a sightseeing trip around Poland, the worst of our history. Yeah. I think the performances are fantastic. I think the direction is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And realistically, directing is where I want Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah,
100%. Because I'm very bored of watching him in front of the camera.
Oh, okay. He's shat in my eyes
a couple times now.
Okay.
Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Now You See Me 3.
Have you seen that?
Why would I?
It's fucking awful.
Right.
There's one joke in it, which is amazing.
You said on the show the other week.
It's incredible.
I'm sure there is an audience for that film. I am not it, so I'm not going to go in there.
There's not. I don't know why it exists.
But as a director, I think he's fantastic. I think he's got an incredible judge of pace and tone, and I loved the movie.
Yeah.
Is it on your list?
No. I'm going to give you one of mine. I'm going to go in strong. I'm going to say Good Boy.
Ooh,
Good Boy.
Really?
Dude, it's a heartbreaking horror movie from a dog's perspective.
Yep.
And the fact that when I was watching it and I was like, ooh, this is quite a good horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was sitting and I was thinking, I was like, this isn't really following. It has some horror conventions that it follows.
Some.
And I'm like, this is odd.
Yep.
And then it took me a beat to realize that it's from the dog's perspective. So the biggest horror that Indy the dog is facing
is presented on screen.
Is watching.
And that's the narrative. Careful, because
I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
It's the relationship with his owner.
Mm-hmm.
And that broke me on a level that I cannot fully go into with words because I don't know what words I would use to access that level of emotional depth.
You felt it much more than I did.
There was such a the whole film wraps up with such a beautiful, beautiful lesson from a fucking dog. And it's insane that it delivers a punch that hard at the end. It broke me multiple times, so, and then it built me right fucking back up.
Without spoiling the movie, what I will say is when I saw it before you,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't that impressed, and then you watched it, but I'd said nothing.
Yeah.
I really kept, because I wanted you to, I knew there was a chance you would love it, and I didn't want to get in the way of
100%.
That. 100%.
I appreciate that. Thank
so
you.
When you came out with the take you had,
mm-hmm.
based around, you know, the horror is what does a dog find horrific?
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of rational leap that makes a lot of the emotive stuff in the movie land very differently.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I didn't make that rational leap while I was watching it.
Right.
And I don't think most people have. It's one that you've found and it has made the movie very enjoyable. Without it,
right,
it's a kind of constant succession of very similar scenes playing in sequence.
Okay.
And I just didn't enjoy it. But there's no denying...
Mm.
that the film Good Boy has kind of an art form pushing forward virtuoso performance by that dog.
It's groundbreaking.
It's groundbreaking.
You don't get this.
No.
Nothing since Dunstan Checks In has there been an animal performance so strong.
I was blown away by that dog.
Yeah, their performance, incredible.
Yeah, and the anthropomorphic emotion that they were able to get out of that dog performer.
We need to move on. I'm going to start crying.
Okay.
We need to go.
Okay.
What's your next one?
I'm going to go with Superman.
Interesting. Great movie.
I was ready to be...
You wanted to hate this.
No, worse than that. I was ready to be whelmed.
Okay.
I knew who was directing it.
Yeah.
And I just went, it's going to be fine.
Because we had conversations before and you were like, there is no expectation because it's just going to be a James Gunn movie.
Yes.
But in DC.
Yes.
And it's going to be some fun music and some stupid jokes.
The two Suicide Squad movies, right?
Sure.
The first one is a film crime.
Yeah.
There is a YouTube video that I adore.
It's not great.
Going through the many editing errors.
I know.
I hadn't even noticed. But then when someone points them out, you go, oh my God, this is a car crash.
Yeah.
James Gunn's The Suicide Squad is a good film.
Better.
It's a much better film.
Yeah.
And it's really enjoyable. I just don't know how much I care.
I'm in the exact same
right,
boat.
I'm like, yeah, that's I'm in the same great. Boat.
Yeah.
And I 2 hours went by and I was whelmed.
Yeah.
And I was expecting that from Superman. What we got instead was a strongly hopeful, political, but political in the right way.
100%.
It wasn't preaching. It wasn't doing anything but inspire.
Shove anything down your throat.
And it was doing everything the character should do. Make you feel inspired, make the world feel a better place, and make you want to be a kinder person. And for a film to make me feel that mm-hmm. is a miracle.
Yeah, 100%.
For a Superman film to make me feel that is a miracle.
Yeah.
For both of those things to be true at the same time, wild.
Yeah.
And I think as much as I love complicated stuff and I like dark stuff and I like all that kind of, you know, this is niche and this is, you know, this isn't popular.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're going to do popular, you have to do it really fucking well.
You do.
And he did.
He did.
That is the definition of blockbuster perfection.
Yeah, he killed it.
It's so much harder to do than an interesting genre movie.
See, Superman would have made my list, but I feel like I've eaten really well this year.
Really?
Really well. There's so many films that should be on this list that I had to cut. This has taken me days to prep.
Jesus.
I've been too excited. I'm going to go in my next one. I'm going to bring up Sisu 2, Road to Revenge.
Okay.
I tell you what, I watched this today.
Mm-hmm.
And buddy, Jesus Christ, the ridiculously over the top modern day exploitation flick with like the healthy dose of blood, gore, hilarious Home Alone style fucking defenses. Traps and sort of tanks doing kickflips. Mm-hmm. That's not an exaggeration.
Fucking hell.
All of this aside from like the fans of Sisu, like you've got all of that to eat on, right? There's so much to get, so much more to get stuck into. You get like the revenge story is played out to such an absurd degree that it'll drop your jaw, but it'll also have your fist pumping in the air like simultaneously. You're sitting there like a kid watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
You love the Sisu franchise.
I fucking adore it, mate. It is. I can't get over that this is like modern day exploitation and everyone's just sleeping on it.
I can.
It's so fun. There is no other universe that exists where this would happen. There's not one.
Mm.
Fucking incredible.
Okay.
Incredible. But this is the thing, right? Most importantly about Sisu 2, for fans of Sisu and they're sticking through this movie, we get the ending that we deserve.
Right.
And it is the night, like the neatest, tightest, prettiest little bow on a gorgeous story. And it's one of those things where you're like, I was a little bit worried we were going to be sort of leaning into like, oh, we'll make it a trilogy and then it'll just be sort of like subset comic book type franchise where they just knock out
we'll
stories
leave it
for
open
the sake of it.
And
but no,
okay,
this ties it off in such a beautiful way. Tear rolled down my cheek because I was like, this is gorgeous.
Okay, well,
this is gorgeous.
I'm not going to rush to see it, but I trust you enough to check it.
You should.
When it eventually finds its way onto home streaming.
I think, oh, it's there.
It's there. It's already there.
Yeah, of course. It was out in cinemas like a month and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
Like it was a while ago.
It genuinely feels like Sisu 2 was in the cinema yesterday.
Yeah.
And I turned up to work and I've just finished my shift.
Right.
And what is happening? Where am I? And to hear that Sisu was already on home streaming, I'm like, what?
Do you know how popular Sisu 2 was with my regular customers who were in watching like dramas and the Christmas movies?
Was it
the amount of people that came out of Sisu 2 being sort of like, it's a bit of all right, isn't it? And I'm like, don't you dare spoil that. Don't you dare.
Fair.
What's your next one?
I'm going to go with one, and I think it's probably on both our lists.
Go on.
And I think it deserves to be Weapons.
Oh, Weapons is high on mine. I've put Weapons at number 4.
Yeah, I think Zach Cregger did a really good job in balancing so many of the aspects of the horror genre that are sort of subgenres. Horror comedy, supernatural comedy.
I'd say mystery, it's like witchcrafty supernatural horror, but it has comedy elements mixed into it.
There's a lightness to it. There's a lightness, and I think the genius of the film is that it keeps you guessing throughout.
It does.
The choices it makes sense retroactively. Mm. Once he makes that choice, you go, oh, okay, I can believe that, but you were never in a million years going to guess it.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult with a mystery movie.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this with, I can't remember which director we were talking about, but J.J. Abrams is a fantastic example, just off the top of my head. J.J. Abrams writes a cracking mystery.
Mm-hmm.
He fucks up resolving them, though.
Yeah, okay.
Like, Rian Johnson does a better job with setting up a mystery and then resolving it in a way that's satisfying but unexpected.
Yeah.
He does not do anywhere near as good a job as Zach Cregger's. I think Zach Cregger's gives you an answer that is satisfying and surprising.
Yeah.
Which is a very difficult thing to do with a mystery film.
Ridiculously hard.
Also gives you a horror movie that is a good movie, even if it isn't scary.
Oh, it's horror done right, though.
Yeah.
Because there is a couple jump scares in it, but it doesn't do the classic horror thing of sort of like...
It's not empty, cheap
slow
scares.
Pan of the room and then boosh at the end.
None
it
of that.
It fills you with a false sense of security and then fucking rips the rug from under your feet when you're least expecting it.
I think Weapons is not a genre... It's not a film that's going to push the genre forward, but it's a fantastic summation of where we're at right now.
I think it's peak horror this year, though.
It's peak, 100%.
That's the one.
It's as good as it gets right now.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything new. It's doing everything you've seen before perfectly, all at the same time.
But
what's
it's doing
not
it
to
in
love?
A way that's new, though. Do you know what I mean? There's new elements in there. Because I saw this in the IMAX 4 times during the opening weekend. I went Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
You did.
And it was, every single time that I watched it, there was a new layer of whether it was how it's edited together in a certain way to keep you guessing at certain points. And it was just tiny little nuggets of genius that was slowly being revealed on each rewatch. And I cannot stress enough how fucking genius this film is. Incredible. Yeah, that's on my list as well.
Nice.
What I'm you gonna got? I'm gonna chuck one in that might not be on yours.
Ooh.
The Toxic Avenger.
The remake,
Toxic Avenger.
Do you know what? I agree.
We all went to go see it at the cinema. Us lot as a big group of mates all went in.
We covered Steve Kostanski,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking about, this isn't everyone's cup of tea, but if it's yours, you'll love it.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting the Toxic Avenger remake. I watched before the original Toxic Avenger. It was my first experience of that whole world. And I was not ready to disappoint you.
Sure.
But I was worried I might.
Yeah, yeah.
And to enjoy it as much as I did, there was a weird, about 10, 15 minutes in,
mm-hmm.
I was so relieved that I wasn't going to let you down.
Right.
And then I started just enjoying the shit out of that film.
Good. You know that you're never going to let me down,
right? You know what I mean? You know, you're a friend with somebody, you want to like the same things. Yeah, I don't want to be the guy being like, that's pure bollocks and you should feel bad.
Do you know the only way that you could ever let me down with a movie? If me and you go and watch a movie and you come out of it and just go, I have zero opinion, zero thoughts. I'm completely so indifferent to what we've just seen. The fact that every single film that we watch together, you either go, it was good for this, fucking loved it, or it was absolute dog shit, I hated every second of it. You sit and you think about it and we have these discussions after, and that's the bit that I care about. I don't give a shit whether you enjoy it or not. I do, obviously. I want you to enjoy everything.
Right.
But like,
I knew how important Trauma was, and I was worried that I was going to watch it and just be left cold and come out going, it's your thing, man, not mine. Yeah. And it's a fascinating thing to watch a film that's a love letter to something I'd never seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get, none of the nostalgia was valid for me. The fact that it was entertaining without nostalgia was testament where I was like, okay, this is actually legitimately a good film.
Horror comedy done right. Perfect. This is the whole Trauma thing. So the Trauma thing is like, no, there's nothing held back. Whatever you want to run for, you run for. As long as it's not hurting anyone, it's on the table. And I fucking adore it for this because it's where weird artists get to be weird artists. But they're not just sort of like tolerated. It's where weird art goes to be fucking celebrated. And my God, does Toxic Avenger need to be celebrated?
Yeah.
This entire film was insane. The storyline is mental. Mm-hmm. The characters are all mental.
Elijah Wood's perfect.
He's fucking insanely good. Kevin Bacon. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I keep falling in love with this man. Every time that I see him in a film, I'm like, I fucking love this dude. And I'll blast through a bunch of his old fucking back catalogue. And then I'll move on with my life. New films will come out. I'll carry on whatever. And then he just crops up somewhere and changes the course of my entire year again.
Yeah.
And he just has this weird power. It's him and Patrick Swayze. Obviously, Patrick Swayze less so now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit less now.
But every time I see a Swayze movie...
He's gone real quiet, Patrick Swayze.
He's just having a break.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Yeah. He's taking a load off, you know what I mean? Ghost 2 is just around the corner.
I mean, it could be. That's one film he could remake.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's good. Toxic Avenger is in there 100%. What you got next?
This is a controversial pick, and I'm aware that I'm going to say these next few words and some listeners are going to be furious and stop respecting my opinion as much.
Okay.
To them I say, fuck it. House of Dynamite is a great film.
Which one's House of Dynamite?
Catherine Bigelow. It went on to Netflix. It's Idris Elba. As the president, it's nuclear.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
Everyone hated this film. Rebecca Ferguson. I think the problem with House of Dynamite that everyone had.
I've just googled it. The first result that comes up is House of Dynamite 2025 is one third of a good movie.
I think the issue that people had with it is a movie called Failsafe.
Okay.
Which was an original 19...
Failsafe?
Yeah, I think the original was either late 50s or early 60s. Brilliant film. And then they did a remake in the early 2000s with George Clooney, black and white.
Oh, I know Failsafe.
Right. I think everyone expected this to be Catherine Bigelow doing Failsafe again.
Yeah.
It's a film about a loose nuke. And
loose nuke.
A loose nuke.
Loose nuke.
It's just in the air.
flirting with everyone.
It's headed for the States. And I think everyone was expecting to have definitive, concrete answers about what happens next.
Right.
I think it wildly misses the point of the film.
Okay.
Which is very much systems of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
And people organized to do things, having been trained for it their entire life.
Yeah.
And it's never fucking happened.
Yeah, of course.
And then finally it does.
Yeah.
And whether it's a literal nuke or whether it's the fall of American democracy.
What is that film? We were talking about this the other day. Leaflets dropping from the sky.
Leave the world behind.
Leave the world behind had the exact same reaction. Right. And I fucking adored that film.
Right.
Super
fun. Because it's not about what happens.
It's not about how it
ends. Because that's irrelevant. It's about who it happens to and it's how they react.
It's like a sliver of the action in between of what's going on. You don't get to... Don't look up. Same thing. There's no definitive...
And I think people tend... We're so locked into that narrative structure of here is a big problem.
Yeah.
And this film is about how we solve or react to that problem.
Right.
And then what happens afterwards. And House of Dynamite isn't that. House of Dynamite is this could happen.
Yeah.
And you will have as much information...
As the person next to you. Yeah. And they're great
movies.
And
you're never going to find out.
They're great movies because they literally fucking like, they just fill you with dread and then leave you hanging.
Right.
This has made my
list.
I need to watch this.
Give it a watch.
Okay.
Because lots of people, I think, hated it for the wrong reasons. And I think on rewatch, and with a bit of time, people will go, that's actually fucking mint.
Okay. Sick. Well, I'm going to stick on the same theme.
Okay. Controversial
Not a controversial pick. I think it's a very obvious pick. I think it's on your list too.
Right.
But it doesn't have a definitive end. It's just a little slice of an incident or a slice of someone's life.
Right.
Warfare.
Ooh. Alex Garland. I knocked it off my list.
Interesting. This is. I made a list of five, and this was fifth because I couldn't figure out what order to put them in, so I just put them in. Warfare, man. Fucking insane look into the life of a soldier during the Iraq War in the mid-2000s. Harrowing as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Unrelenting.
Yes.
Unforgiving. Ray Mendoza, who lived it,
helped
write and direct it with Alex Garland, and it is one of the most emotionally affecting movies from the get-go, where it starts off and everyone's enjoying it. You see him before being deployed. Like,
I can't
the night
disagree.
Before deployment.
I can't
fucking
disagree.
Insane movie.
When we covered it a couple months back, I was very, very taken with it. We both were.
Yeah.
I think with the benefit of a bit of time, I respect the fuck out of Warfare by Alex Garland and Ray Mendoza.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be watching it again anytime soon.
I have watched it since we've watched it recently.
I think for me, the visceral experience is exactly correct.
It's
extreme boredom followed by extreme stress.
Yeah.
When I come back from work
and
I've just about managed to get dinner in front of myself,
do
I want to sign up for 40 minutes of boredom followed by an hour and a half of extreme stress?
Does it not give you a little bit of relief where you're like, at least it's not that extreme?
I'm not there anymore. I don't think I need that.
I might have had a busy day. I might have had a rough one. But fucking hell, I've had it easy compared to some. It makes me feel grateful for my situation.
Okay.
So you know how you're messaging me at the moment and I'm at work and I'm like, everything's gone wrong. Everything that could possibly go wrong has gone wrong.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck man, I'm so sorry. And I'm like,
It's
all good. It could honestly be so much worse.
Yeah.
And it's because of stuff like this where it genuinely hits me in a way where I'm like, people have lived lives... that I can't even begin to relate to because of how horrific it is and how intense it is and how horrible it is. I feel like I've got it easy. I feel like if a printer runs out of paper and I'm like, oh gosh darn it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now something else has gone wrong. Someone called me a bugger. Some little kids have run in past.
I totally get it.
You know what I mean?
And I can't disagree. And it's why I say I really respect Warfare.
Okay.
It's a brilliant film.
Oh, I'm glad you saved it with the film. I just thought you were
complimenting
armies around the world.
No.
I was like, fucking hell.
Warfare is a fantastic film. It's just, I'm in a space at the moment where I need movies to chill me out.
Fair.
And that one does not.
Okay.
If I want a movie to wind me up,
I
can't think of a better pick from 2025 than Warfare. And I can't think of a more viscerally thrilling film
yeah.
set in war
yeah, yeah.
than that movie. So it does deserve to be on a list.
Yeah, 100%.
Just not mine.
Okay, fair. What's next on yours?
Sinners.
Sinners is also on mine.
I think Sinners is a fantastic movie mm. about black culture that happens to use vampires in a bit of it.
Incredibly so. I think it's a fucking, yeah, I've literally written here an awe-inspiring venture into this old-timey Vampires Are Real universe, which is rich in lore and raw, high-flying emotion. Sinners paints a rich tapestry of culture,
mm-hmm.
art, and fucking outright horror. And also, there's a bit of vampires.
Yeah. Just the sheer fact that using vampires as a metaphor for cultural assimilation mm-hmm. and the import of and control of belief, and the entire film, the vampires are painted as the villains,
mm-hmm.
but then when it actually gets to the end of it, it's just a different way of living. And different there's life. No judgment no. because there's this argument throughout the film during the subtext of the sort of purity of black American culture. And should you cling to your ways from the old world, or should you allow yourself to be blurred in the melting pot of American culture, which is very much what the vampires are saying.
100%, yeah.
Come join us. We're from everywhere. We're from Ireland. We're from Europe. And just join in. You'll live forever,
yeah.
but you'll lose your identity. Are you willing to give up your cultural identity and assimilate?
Mm.
And so for the entirety of the film, it's presented that no, this is us as we are, and we will not change. We will not assimilate because this is sacred and this is ancient. And it's a beautiful point to make about culture. But I did worry that it was kind of judging people who did choose to perhaps blend.
It wraps it up in the mid-credit scene, though.
But then in the mid-credit scene, it comes back and it just goes, no, no, there's no judgment.
You've got your thing.
That's valid. This is valid, and we can both respect each other.
Yeah.
To do that with a silly little vampire movie,
fucking incredible.
Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
The thing that like ticked my box for it as well is the IMAX aspect ratios that they chose to go with.
Okay, of course.
It shifts.
Do you know what I really loved? The aspect ratios.
I'm telling you.
You
but it shifts.
Such a nerd.
No, hear me out. The way that they've done it is it's two different IMAX aspect mm-hmm. ratios, right? And it switches throughout the film depending on what's happening within the film.
Okay.
And it once you notice it, it will never be unnoticeable.
Okay.
And it just fucking adds to all this stuff of thought, like
who's got
assimilating
the
and who's not.
Okay.
Who's leaning one way, who's leaning another way, or where you're sort of what area you're leading into. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting.
It's very fucking fun.
Also, who doesn't want to look at Michael B. Jordan for 2 hours?
Who doesn't want to look at him twice
right?
for 2 hours?
Ryan Coogler knew what he was doing. He was 100%. Like, what's the best looking part of this film? That man. So
and
I'm just going to have
man.
Two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking perfect. It's perfect. I'm going to go one. I don't think it's on your list, but I'm going to go for it. Bring Her Back.
Ooh.
Bring Her Back.
Bring Her Back.
Yeah, that fucking ruined me.
Interesting film.
So the heartbreaking from the get-go, like pure fucking devastation from the get-go. It's like, it's a weird little film
yep.
that looks at loss, grief, and this desperate journey of a mother trying to bring back her daughter, trying to save mm-hmm. her daughter from what she believes, which is kind of similar to a mad scientist in the 80s trying to beat brain death.
Yes.
And then bring family members and other people back from the dead, right?
Yes.
One of my favorite films of all time.
It's a little reanimator. It's a spooky little reanimator.
It's a spooky little supernatural reanimator. Without the brain death goop, it's now using witchcraft and wizardry.
Yeah.
But also, the audio design in that movie is criminal. It needs to be studied because it's disgusting.
It's very, very affecting.
If you watch the teeth scene with your eyes shut, you can still see
the film.
You fucking...
You can shut your eyes and still see
the T-Rex
film.
Arms. You still cringe. You know exactly what is happening. Exactly what moment it's happening. It mm-hmm. is fucking feral. For a film to do that
yep.
is disgusting, needs to be studied. I think that this is also the film that finally breaks the mold on Sally Hawkins for me.
Really?
Because whenever anyone mentions Sally Hawkins,
you just see the
after the Shape of Water.
You just see her masturbating in
the bath. Just see the bathtub scene, and it's never left me. I go, Paddington 3 came out in the cinemas recently. I go and watch Paddington 3, and I'm like wanking in a bathtub. Can't do it.
Right.
Can't do it.
But Bring Her Back has cured you.
But Bring Her Back has cured me, because now I don't think of wanking in a bathtub.
So you could say that it brought her back.
Exactly.
Okay.
Bring Her Back has brought Sally Hawkins back for me. That's why it's on my list of best films of 2025.
Fair. Fair.
Incredible film.
I didn't get on with it. I was so on board most of the way.
Okay.
And then some of the decisions. What I loved about Talk to Me, which is the film from the same filmmakers just before Bring Her Back.
Yeah.
I watched Talk to Me. I fell head over heels in love with it. So when Bring Her Back came around, I was ready.
Yeah.
I was excited. And the first two thirds of the movie are all going a certain way.
Yeah.
And at the end, it takes a turn.
It does.
And that turn did not satisfy me. And there's all sorts of reasons why it's the right decision to have made.
Yeah.
But it didn't gel for me. And it left me feeling deeply dissatisfied by the end of the movie. And it's a matter of debate. I get why people love the ending. And I get why people think it's the perfect ending. They're not wrong.
Yeah.
It's just not my perfect ending.
It's fine.
And that's why I didn't make my list.
That's fine.
I got my last one.
I'm down to my last three. Ooh. So you give me your last one.
And you're going to have to make a hard decision. Three. Oh, no, you're just going to blast through
I'm
all three.
I'm going to blast through all three of them.
Yeah. Well, give me one more then.
I'm going to do one that I know isn't on your list. Phoenician Scheme.
Oof.
See?
Yeah.
Okay, hear me out on this one. I'm a slut for Wes Anderson movies.
You love him.
I fucking love a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
Honestly. Plight of a Billionaire trying to pull off a great scheme to ensure all of his business interests are tied off is fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
We've seen it. It's been done. Arguably been done better. That's an interesting watch on its own. Throw in some family dynamics. Throw in the spy element. And throw in Wes Anderson's symmetrical, pastel, gorgeous, fucking everything has a place in every frame lens.
Yep.
And you've got me for as long as you need me. I'm in. Like, I'm fucking locked in. You know what I mean? It was a wicked cinema experience as well.
He is probably the most painterly director that will ever be.
Fucking adore it. It's fine art on the screen.
Yeah. The way he puts shots together is undeniably beautiful. I find his whimsy super charming.
So good.
Such a whimsical director. I'd love to see his next film.
Okay.
I feel like he's made the same 8 or 9.
I want to see him remake some, you know how we've mentioned before on the podcast where we're like, they keep remaking the good movies and good franchises.
Yeah, and they need to make the bad ones.
Give them the shitter ones a go, right?
I feel like Wes Anderson has fallen into a bit of a Tim Burton trap and the style has become a prison. And I feel like the painterly frame, I'm there for that. The whimsy, I'm there for that.
Yeah.
But from film to film to film, the cast's not changing. The look's not changing that much. The whimsy's not changing. And like Asteroid City, fantastic.
That changes all of that.
Because it's the most different.
Yeah.
The Phoenician Scheme, the Darjeeling Limited, quite similar films.
I mean, to an extent.
I would like to see him do something a little bit more different and go, here is Wes Anderson as you've never seen him before. Because when I see Wes Anderson's name above the door now.
I think that's just not Wes Anderson though. You know what I mean? You see Wes Anderson's name above the door, you're getting Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
That's what you show up for.
Yeah, it's a narrower definition than I'd like these days.
I mean, you say that, Phoenician Scheme, the opening scene, a dude gets blown in half, which I did not see coming, and it's played for comedy. That's not Wes Anderson. I loved it.
As you should.
It's the only Wes Anderson I saw on the big screen this year, so I was honestly...
That's a powerful thing.
It was huge. It was huge as well, because it was me and you. It was Control Alt Critique podcast. We went with a group of mates. We all just sat, laughed, enjoyed some Wes Anderson goodness. It was a good moment. It was a gorgeous day.
Lovely day. What's next?
You still got your one?
Caught Stealing.
Interesting.
Here's the thing.
I was going to put this on my list, but then I remembered that these other two existed.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I miss Darren Aronofsky.
Same.
I think his early work, some fantastic films.
Oh, wildly hit and miss.
For you. But yeah. I adore his early work. And then there's just some shit in the middle.
Like Mother.
Noah. Noah is so painful.
Mm.
To see him back, to see him a little bit humble, to see him doing something a little bit smaller in scope,
yeah,
a little bit less crammed full of ideas, and just the lightness of touch with the comedy,
yeah,
the darkness of the comedy, paced perfectly.
Dude, that film took some turns that I didn't expect.
It grabs you by the face and it pulls you through 2 hours and you get to the other end and you've had a giggle, yeah, you've had a cry,
yeah,
and you've been excited.
Yeah.
And that from Darren Aronofsky. Like, Darren Aronofsky, great artistic filmmaker.
Yeah, 100%.
I'd never say Superman, let's give it to Darren Aronofsky, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Because he's not going to do that blockbuster popcorn flick.
No.
Thing that's often criticized for being empty, but is in fact far harder to do.
Yeah,
it's far easier to make Black Swan than it is to make Superman.
Yeah.
Because you've just got to have some, you've got to really stick to your guns on some niche feelings and nail your specific vision. Trying to nail what a million people want to see is a lot harder than nailing what 50,000 want to see.
I think it's really hard as well to put the two lesbian ballet dancers fingering each other in Superman as well.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's hardest, a tough sell.
Tough sell.
Tough sell.
So to see Darren Aronofsky recapture a little bit of the halfway house of there's stuff in here for me, but I have also considered you the audience, is
there's
a beautiful thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I didn't realize it was Aronofsky until the end. I looked into Court Stealing exactly fuck all until you wanted to cover it. And then when I watched it, I was in a rush. I was busy. I just put it on and was like, oh, fucking hell. And then it popped up Darren Aronofsky. I was like, fucking, that changes everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It changes everything. Okay. I've got two left.
Hit me.
These are my last two. And it's unfair because these two, I can't really pick one or put one above the other because they were both fucking insane for me personally, right? So in no order, Begonia.
Ooh.
Is probably the film of the year. Begonia is my film of this year.
Okay.
By a mile. A large mile.
In no order.
In
Begonia
no order.
Begonia is your film of the year by a large mile.
It will become clear. Begonia is the best film of 2025 by a long mile.
Okay.
And it is insanity. It's pure, unfiltered, carefully crafted, elegantly written insanity. And I don't think anyone other than Yorgos Lanthimos can do what Begonia did.
Okay.
In such a way and pull it off as flawlessly as it has been done. Because I went to go watch this film with a couple of friends who aren't normally into Lanthimos movies.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Lanthimos has got a very sort of like distinct style.
He does.
And he makes some very strange films.
He's very Lanthimos.
He's very Lanthimos.
Yeah.
So my two friends... we took to watch this film, not big into Lanthimos.
Yeah.
And we're watching the film play out as these two sort of fringe society conspiracy theorists are completely sold on an idea. And throughout the film, as it plays out, you are constantly
questioning,
on a fence,
yeah,
on who's more insane,
mm-hmm,
and what the fuck is happening, because why is any of this going forward?
Yeah.
There is so many subplots of stuff that has happened in childhood where you're thinking, that's why they are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
This will explain, this explains everything. And it does, but it doesn't.
Right.
And it leads you down this road where it sort of critiques consumerism. It critiques like modern culture. It's got a lot to say about society as it stands, which is insane considering the premise of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking mental. I'm not going to say anything more because I can't.
Yeah,
without
because
I'm too excited now. I'm going to go home and watch Begonia.
Let me damp your excitement by saying I will watch it.
We'll watch it together.
I'm going to have to work up the courage because I cannot stand Lanthimos.
I know you don't. We'll save it until next year and we'll watch it together when you're back up after visiting family, and we'll have some fun with it. If you hate it, I'm just excited for the opinion of why you hate it.
That's all
I'm looking forward to.
It will be because I think he is a dirty little edgelord Okay. And I know that's not fair, but you know when you just get a vibe from somebody and it's just, ooh, it's confrontation for confrontation's sake.
I don't see any of his stuff as confrontational.
Mm.
I never get confrontation from it. I see it as challenging, and I see it as challenging towards aspects of society, and he will only ever make a weird as fuck film when he has something to say about something. But what that something is, I might not necessarily give a fuck about.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy to listen in on the conversation.
I'll give it a go.
We'll give it a go.
So that is controversially your best film of 2025 large mile.
It is.
But
there's another film that came out this year.
Right.
Technically.
Right.
Technically. So it's Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair.
Okay.
See how it's a sort of like Catch 22?
Yeah, because
Kill Bill's have been out for years.
Kind of a bit cheeky, but
it's a cheeky one. It's a re-edit of two movies that have been out for a long time.
Yeah.
I can't begin to explain.
Would you say it's a new movie in its own right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it is. There's extended anime scenes. There's recolorizations. There's deleted scenes that have been reinserted back into the film that kind of change
the narrative.
The narrative slightly. But right. It's not just the narrative that changes. So Kill Bill 1, I've always had as one of my favorite films because of its high octane action. It's like fucking brutal from get-go.
Yeah.
And it does not ease up on the intensity, right? Whereas Kill Bill Volume 2, it has to fill in a lot of the blanks from the story of Kill Bill 1, and the pacing's a little bit slower.
It is.
The story moves a little bit slower, and I think
it's a little bit more reflective.
It's suffered in sort of hindsight for that aspect.
In the pacing and
in
the intensity, it's a lot slower.
You're expecting something from Kill Bill, and then Volume 2 is something else.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, okay, I have to shift gears dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair has an intermission at 1 hour and 51 minutes in. And I know this because I double-checked the playlist. 1 hour and 51 minutes in, you get a 15-minute break.
Right.
So I'm gonna talk about this pre-intermission and post-intermission.
Right.
Pre-intermission is what we would call Kill Bill Volume 1.
Right.
With a few added bits, a little bit of extra flavor in.
Mm-hmm.
It is non-stop, and it feels like 20 minutes have passed by the time that the intermission kicks in.
Right.
It's just go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Incredible. Like, honestly, some of the best things I've seen on a big screen ever.
Right.
In the first 1 hour, 51 minutes of this film.
Right.
Post-intermission.
Yep.
You've had a little break. You've gone for a piss. You've grabbed a drink. You've got a couple snacks. You're sitting back in your seat and you're thinking, all right, time to strap in for the next 3 hours.
Right, yeah.
It goes by in 15 minutes.
Wow.
There is no fucking easing up on the tension. So I feel like when it's split into two films, the tension
drops.
It drops
because
massively.
You have to start from scratch.
You have to try and reinsert the tension from the get-go at Volume 2. It's hard to do. Did the best he could. Still a great movie on its own. Here, no drop in pace, no drop in tension.
Because it was, am I right in thinking it was originally written as one film?
It is one film.
So bear with me. So before The Whole Bloody Affair was conceived and released.
Kill Bill's one film.
Kill Bill is one film that had to be split in two. He wrote it as one film.
Yes.
He intended it to be one film.
Yes.
And somebody sat him down and said, Quentin, this is going to suffer. Like, you're not going to get people in for a 5-hour movie.
I'll go into it in more detail next year.
Ooh.
But yes. So essentially, and then Tarantino had the famous interview quote of going, it's one film that I've had to cut into two.
Right.
So it's two films for the price of one. And he went on the whole interview circuit to say this.
Which is an objectively hilarious quote.
He's incredible for it. He knew what he was doing, and he was like, I had to do it. Fucking enjoy pain twice.
But re-merged together.
It's the best cinematic... It's the best cinematic experience I have ever had in my entire life.
Wow.
In my entire life.
Wow.
So the welcome to our feature presentation.
Uh-huh.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
You know the fucking... You know the music, man. Like, it's from that moment right up until let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. At the very end,
so
after
my question
the credits.
Is, you say it's the best cinematic experience you've ever had.
Yeah.
Where can other people get that?
It was in the cinema for a very limited time.
Mm-hmm.
I think my cinema showed it for 3 days.
Right.
Because the playlist was 6 hours long.
Jesus.
So if we were showing it twice in one day,
That's
one entire screen in that cinema was showing off. Two films that day and nothing else. Normally we'll show four or five.
Yeah.
Two films were shown that day, and that's a 12-hour day.
Wow.
This is why it had a real fucking limited run. Yeah, of course.
Are they going to do a release?
There's talks of there being a full 4K special edition Steelbox limited edition release,
mm-hmm.
which I am fucking wet for. I am gasping for
Although,
that.
And this is where it gets sticky.
It will do.
Well, no, in a different sense. The home release is fundamentally not going to be the same experience.
No, it's not.
Because it gives you the option to pause the film.
Exactly. And also, there's an etiquette at home where you can pull your phone out. You can go take a piss. You can grab some snacks. You can have a quick chit-chat to your mates.
The Prince Charles in London, I imagine, will be a place where this will be shown again.
I think it'll do the rounds again.
It'll do the rounds again. It'll be 10-year anniversary, a 15-year... It'll be a rare treat that if you see it happen in your area...
You have to go.
Ben says you have to go.
Like, this isn't just a sort of like, oh, you should go because it's really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you should go because it'll change the way that you view cinema.
Make a day of it.
In the screening that I was in, there was like... teenagers, 18-year-old, 19-year-olds, they were studying film at college. And I know this because it was the friendliest crowd of people that's ever been in a cinema ever. So everyone was chatting in the interval. People that would never ever speak to each other were just casually having a chit chat in the intermission.
Nice.
What do you think so far? What's this, that, and the other? Oh, did you notice this?
Mm.
What did you think of the extended anime scene? You got all of this going on in the intermission. There was maybe 100 people in my screening, right? So the 100 people, everyone had snacks, everyone had popcorn, everyone had fucking drinks.
Yeah.
There are elongated periods of the Kill Bill, whole bloody affair, that there is no music and it is deathly silent, just dialogue, right?
Wow.
The whole superhero scene where Bill's explaining why he likes Superman is about 11 minutes with just dialogue. Not a fucking crinkle of paper, not a whisper in the crowd. For 5.5 hours, there was not a single peep out of anyone in that room.
Jesus.
Everyone was so fucking locked into what was happening. The best cinematic experience of my entire life. If you ever get the chance to do it, and I implore you, if you ever get the chance to do it, please go and do it because it is once in a lifetime type shit.
I look forward to it.
Please do. I think that's it. That's the top ranked films of 2025. Thanks for... hanging out for our kind of relaxed, kind of weird, kind of different Christmas episode. We're having a break.
Let us know your top films.
Give us your top films of 2025.
There's a couple places you can do that. You can find us on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on TikTok. You can find us on YouTube. But if you really want to chat to us, we've got a chat room in Discord. And if you go to any of the social medias I've just listed, there'll be a link at the top with a Linktree link.
Yeah.
And that'll take you through to our Discord, which is our little private chat room.
It is.
Or you can join our Patreon, where we've got extra content. Most of you are probably already listening on there anyway, because it is Christmas, and we love you dearly for listening there.
Yeah.
But we get extra content there. It's about £1, £1.50,
yeah.
Depending on where you're buying from. And let us know your thoughts. Let us know what your favourite films are. Let us know how violently you disagree with some of our takes.
Mm.
And we look forward to seeing you in the new year. We love you very dearly. And thank you for hanging out with us. Happy Christmas.
Normally, Rob would tell us all to consume whilst I babble over you. But I think, being as it's Christmas, I think we've all done enough consuming.
We have.
For this year. I reckon we just say, have a Merry Christmas. Spend some time with your friends and your family. We'll see you in the new year.
See you in the new year. Lots of love.
Look after yourselves. Love you.
Bye.